How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to 19-Year-Old Shrink for episode number 99. This is Will John Grande. Now, if you don't know whether to continue listening to this episode or not really sure what this episode is about, I will give you some things that if you have ever asked yourself this, then you should definitely listen to this episode. If you've ever asked yourself, what is my personality style? Or why are certain people not receptive to my feedback? Or why doesn't my praise towards others resonate with them? Then this episode is for you. Today's episode is about this book that I recently read, which was called The Chameleon by Marek Rosenberg. And I just want to preface before going into this episode that many of these points are reiterated by the points that Marek made in the book and are coming from his knowledge and experience in the industry of learning about personality, characteristics, and team building. And I've had the pleasure to experience a lot of those aha moments when reading Marek's book, and I'm forever grateful to have been gifted it from my father and for having Marek's incredible knowledge available to me. And I just want to be able to give you access to all of his information that's been provided in team building and that field for many individuals and companies, and provide you with those resources to his book as well, which I'll add at the end of the episode. As I mentioned in my last one, us college graduates have definitely been in the place of change and might not know exactly what the next step is. And I mentioned what path I've wanted to go down in life coaching and how my dad introduced me to this side of it as well, which goes into more of the team building and personality development aspect, which kind of falls under the umbrella of HR consulting. And I thought Marek's approach was very unique to the personality testing and team building industry because he found a way to make it more interesting. So you've definitely heard of certain tests like Myers-Briggs or the DISC assessment. And many have probably taken the Myers-Briggs test before. And you've said, oh, I'm an introvert or I'm an extrovert, and then so on. But he spent much of his time working in this area, but didn't feel as though he was captivating his audience and making his information stick. And he started to, you know, try and figure out how could I make this information more memorable for them. And he thought, and then came along the birds. So we've all seen different depictions of birds in our lives and the type of characteristics they have. I remember last year, my friend Eddie and I wanted to house sit a parrot for a month up in Boston for one of our coworkers. And part of the reason we wanted to do that is because we had the notion that parrots are playful and fun to be around and are these colorful birds. Them being able to talk was also another plus and factored to us wanting to teach the bird new words. Or if you've ever seen the movie Home Alone 2, it's a classic. I don't know what you're doing if you haven't seen it, but in this movie, there's a scene where Kevin McAllister enters the toy store, and it's called Duncan's Toy Chest in Manhattan, and he contributes $20 to Mr. Duncan for the Children's Hospital charity, and follows that up by saying, you know, I'd probably be spending it on something that rots my teeth and my mind. And then Mr. Duncan, to show his appreciation, gave Kevin two turtle doves. And he goes on to say, turtle doves are a symbol of friendship and love. Now, as long as each of you have your turtle dove, you'll be friends forever. And this is a perfect example of the dove characteristic in Marek's teaching style that I will go into later on. He uses that as being a metaphor for people that are very, very friendly. Or let's say if you've ever been hiking or out in nature, you might see an eagle come swoop down fastly and catch his prey, almost seeming as though they were on a mission. And another bird, such as an owl, we've seen depictions of that, such as in, you know, Winnie the Pooh. That's a little bit older of a TV show, but there's the owl that's literally called Owl in Winnie the Pooh. And he's known for sharing his wisdom and being an intellect to others. The list goes on. If you're a huge Harry Potter fan, Hedwig was always great with intelligence and also delivering messages. So I've just given you the owl, and I've just given you the four different birds that are commonly depicted in media as having certain characteristics. And these four birds were used in Rosenberg style to allow the individual to remember their specific personality traits better. So now it's time to dive deeply into the four different birds and the type of personality traits that each one has. And if you've always wondered what specifically matches you or have been intrigued by personality trait tests, I highly recommend listening to this one. And much of the information that I've received has come from that book, The Chameleon, as well as a personal test and report that I ended up doing with the company Take Flight, which is through Merrick Rosenberg. And as he says, for the eagle, much of the eagle characteristics, let's start there, much of those characteristics, in specific words, are they're authoritative, they're confident, they're action-based, dominant, decisive, those are some of the words he uses. So when I was talking about the eagle that swoops down and grabs another bird, they're being decisive because they aren't waiting around to decide whether to take the bird or not. They are confident that they will get it and are dominant in the process. Now, right now, I want you to take a minute and think about someone who is an eagle in your life. And if you've ever heard the expression about someone being a type A personality, then this is pretty similar to the eagle mentality. They're very much focused on getting immediate results, going their own path, and being solution focused. They don't hang around and talk for a while. They get right down to business. And some types of places that the book mentioned these eagles like to be in are environments that have opportunities for advancement and places where they can be in control themselves. And when I first saw this description, I thought of people who, you know, might enjoy sales or being a manager at a company. They enjoy that feeling of not having a fixed income. Their income is based entirely on how much they put out, how much energy and effort they put into their job. They have control over that. They aren't held within the confines of the fixed income model of their company. And one thing that I want to point out in Merrick's work is that thinking about in your life who is an eagle can be a lot more exciting and memorable than thinking about who in your life is type A or has a dominant personality. By attaching a specific being or animal and figure that we have a reference to in our life already as in a person, it becomes almost fun to be like, that person's an eagle. And since reading The Chameleon, I've started to have fun trying to figure out, all right, is this person an eagle? Is this person a parrot? I start to look at all the people that I've been friends with and had relationships in my life and start to try and analyze, okay, this person's a parrot, this person's an owl, and go from there. And then if I'm in a big group of people, it starts to get really funny because I start laughing in the fact that I'm imagining that all these people are a flock of different types of birds that are living in the forest together. Kind of like how the chameleon is organized as a metaphor for how we interact with each other in our life by the birds and all the different types of them being in quote unquote home or the forest in that book. Now, let's say you are an eagle yourself, or you know someone that's an eagle based on the descriptions that he provides. Everyone has their shortcomings, and the book mentions those shortcomings for an eagle because the eagle is constantly in a place of go, go, go. They might struggle to recognize the emotional needs of the team around them and the individuals within the team. Because they are so results driven, then it becomes more about the results than about the feelings of the person. Another thing that these individuals might do, and I want to emphasize the word might, which I'll get to in a second, but another thing that these individuals might do is that they may neglect all of the considerations because they want to get those results fast. So they might fail to listen to others because they're so confident in themselves that they have a difficult time thinking that someone else has a point to what they're saying and might have the right answer versus themselves. And I've talked about this idea in previous episodes in a different light, but I've mentioned how sometimes people are bad listeners. I need to improve myself. But sometimes those people that are really bad listeners don't take into account what others have to say. And that's actually an ego problem because they're so consumed with the fact that they think they're always right and that their greatest strength of confidence actually can become their greatest weakness because they're shutting themselves off to the opportunity of learning a difference in opinion and being opened to different perspectives that can allow them to grow. Now, let's put it in eagle's terms. Let's say you're an eagle and you're with a bunch of other birds and they're communicating with you. And this is how much of the chameleon was organized. It was a bunch of birds in the forest, as I mentioned, or their quote unquote home, as Merrick refers to it. And it served as a metaphor to break down the different styles of people. But let's say you're trying to find food and you are adamant that food is in a certain place, but other birds are telling you otherwise. You become stubborn and decide not to listen. End up going to your spot that you thought was right, and then they end up finding the food. Think to yourself, am I that eagle that sometimes doesn't listen to the other birds about where the food is? Translated, am I that person that doesn't listen to my colleagues or family friends about where results are or about different techniques to be happy? And with all that in mind, I'm going back to that word might, because I think it's important, and Merrick mentions this a lot throughout the talk, in that there's a scale that everyone has a certain characteristic of each of the four birds in their life. It's not this person is only an eagle, this person is only an owl. So the one thing that I think is important to take away from this is that you could be an eagle and not relate to this feeling at all. Maybe you're an eagle and you have really good listening skills, and that could definitely be the case. So if you're hearing, oh, I'm more like an eagle and I'm that type A personality, don't think that you're getting labeled as someone that doesn't listen well, because we're all different people and there's such a variety and mix of different types of personality traits. Now, let's go over to the next bird, the owl. So the situation I just posed to you, in which the eagle is given suggestions by other birds, one of those other birds could be the owl. The owl, as I mentioned, is known for being conscientious, data-driven, detail-oriented, and logical. And because the owl spent much of its time focusing on the data of the potential prey that exists out in the forest, they might have some valuable information to relay over to that eagle. But if the eagle doesn't listen, the eagle might lose out on this opportunity for them all to win. And that leads to the owl potentially getting the reward of finding that food for themselves. And some of the tendencies of the owl, as found in my report that's mentioned in Take Flight, is that they're beings that check multiple times before doing something. They're very to the books and are very diplomatic, as he says. They enjoy being in a very organized environment with set expectations and don't require a ton of social interaction for them to be satisfied with their job. Now, same thing. Pause, take a minute, think about someone in your life that is an owl. It gets really fun when you start thinking about it. These could be those people from growing up that maybe were very quiet in class and never talked in class, but were always very good students, very organized, very logical. Think about someone like that. Now, what are some of the things that owls could improve on? And as I mentioned, I'm just reiterating a lot of the points that Merrick presents in his work because I think it's really valuable to share with you guys. So, they're in a place of analyzing a certain situation. Because of that, they might get hung up on the situation for too long. And relating it back to some of the episodes that I've done, I've talked about the idea of analysis paralysis on this show a lot. We've all probably been there without even realizing it because it's kind of a clunker of a word. But this is something that might be associated to an owl. This is where we sometimes might think too much about whether to act on something or weighing specific options back and forth. That we feel as though we have a more informed decision, but then it takes us too long and then we waste that time. So if you put an owl into the situation with a bird down below that could swoop up and catch, they might think about it, ponder it over, and by the time they do, the opportunity has passed them by. But on the flip side, the owl might give much more informed decisions and well thought out ideas. And sometimes you might find yourself, as Merrick said, having a battle between the other bird. An owl might not get along well with the eagle because the eagle is fast-paced and makes decisions quickly, whereas the owl takes their time and organizes all the facts and information before acting. So that's kind of a mixed bag of personalities there, which I find fascinating. For me, I would not consider myself an owl. Definitely not. Because I don't always look over everything and recheck things again and again before acting. But again, there might be times where I exhibit parts of being an owl. One example where I've definitely noticed this is with important events or deadlines. So if I have a flight coming up, I make sure I'm extra prepared about the exact information of the flight, double and sometimes triple checking to make sure I have my ID or my passport, as well as my phone, charger, laptop, you name it. I don't wing packing whatsoever, checking and rechecking like an owl does. Part of it, I think, has to do with my upbringing and having my mom, who was always ultra prepared to travel, which I think wore off on me a little bit. So again, something that Merrick instilled in me that I think is very important is to not say that you're definitely not a certain bird. Again, we all have different tendencies and different situations where we possess certain characteristics of a specific bird. But we do show favoritism, or we reveal having one or two of the birds most prominently in our lives and in our personality. Now, moving on to the parrots. Again, you've probably always seen parrots as being these very colorful, energetic birds that bring this enthusiasm into your day. And as the book and report say, people who are parrots enjoy connecting with people. They love telling stories. Sometimes they might get sidetracked from certain responsibilities because they enjoy the company of talking to people. Maybe you're, you know, traveling with your grandparents or your aunt and they just can't leave a conversation. Like in my family, we're a big Italian family. We always hear about the whole idea of the Italian goodbye, where it takes like 30 minutes to leave. It's because we like to talk. A bunch of parrots in the room, they don't like to say goodbye. And that's kind of where that phrase was kind of coined within our family. And, you know, before that, obviously, we didn't take that. But that's an example of a bunch of parrots in a room that are, you know, trying to say goodbye and, you know, talk about life experiences, about stories from the past and, you know, things to come in the future. They enjoy being in a positive and upbeat work environment. They enjoy having freedom where they can speak their mind and share with others. Some areas that are spots to improve for these parrots are being more precise with deadlines, being more attentive to details. So being more like an owl in those situations. But I will say it is important to not try and be like someone who you're not. And that's what he mentions a lot in the book. So I'm going to catch myself on that wording because I know that Merrick mentioned not going into that, but learning to become a little bit more precise and also being a little bit more realistic. So for me, just to give you a little bit of background, I scored the highest on the parrot for my report, which definitely made sense to me. And I can think of specific scenarios. So last summer I mentioned I interned in Boston. I loved where I worked because people were always conversing and bouncing ideas off each other. We always had get-togethers outside of the office and different team building stuff. And it was a very, you know, social environment. And where I'm leaning parrot, I love this, but someone who's an owl and needs to have time to themselves to focus on the little details might not enjoy this environment. They may need to hit those deadlines, or an eagle might be very opposed to this environment because they might view a lot of conversation as distracting from the specific results they are trying to achieve. And again, something that you might find yourself doing is being an owl at one point of the day, eagle in another, parrot at other times. Maybe you have very great self-awareness and love being social, but also love getting those results. So your detail-oriented side of the owl starts to plan out your days better, where you might focus on being an eagle in the morning, which is very much results-driven and focused on staying on the ball. But then you also appreciate and find it necessary to have that social interaction and plan out incorporating that later on in the workday for yourself. And since reading this book, I become very, very intrigued by the idea that we aren't one or the other. Again, we can be different at different times while favoring one or two mostly. And the last bird that is mentioned is the dove. You know, some of the words that describe the dove are supportive, sincere, calm, patient. If you've ever seen a person that never raises their voice or have heard the expression, they would give you the shirt off their back. These are people that are doves. They truly enjoy being a support for others, try to reduce tension within a group. Also, they're known as peacemakers. Their best environment is in a place of calm culture, recognition-based work, and a sense of order. Some areas where they can improve, as Merrick alludes to, are being more assertive and being more upfront about their needs. They might be individuals who lose out on their wants and needs because they don't want to be too much trouble. They also might not be very confrontational. I found myself in this position before. If you're someone who internally gets pissed off and then tries to confront that person, and then you start sweating, getting nervous, you feel it, a lump in your throat, you might be more dove-like and not want to cause any problems or additional tension. Now, think about someone who is a dove in your life. With this thought in your mind, I want you to now gather all four of the different birds and the four people that you associated with them in your mind and reflect on them. One thing that Merrick emphasizes is the ability for this information to stick more with the bird references than it does with the just naming it as a specific personality trait. Maybe this doesn't work for you, but I realized that there was a significantly greater comprehension of the people and their relation to the birds because of that fun type of learning environment that Merrick created for his readers and for the people that tune into his program. Now, taking all the different types of birds that he was given, think about how you could benefit from this information. And some of the biggest takeaways that I would like to emphasize is that it's not a one-size-fits-all type model. We all have different experiences where we fall into one of the different types of birds. And with all the information that Merrick provided to me, I felt like I was able to understand how certain types of birds and certain types of people might come into conflict with each other and how they might be able to thrive with one another on the flip side. Life is all about dealing with different personalities and being able to live in a community with one another. And the chameleon did a fantastic job at simplifying and making a fun use out of these concepts and allowing us to have a better sense of ourselves and others. And I highly, highly recommend checking out this book by him, but also taking the test. I think it was about $50 to take the test. It gives you about a 38-page report that breaks down every single one of those personality characteristics. And one thing I think that helps me too, that I also want to preface a little additional note, is when you're going through this, don't look at it as if you are, you know, in a place where it's fixed. That if you're a specific personality trait, that does not mean that that won't change over time. So don't think, oh, I'm just a more quiet, I'm more dove-like, I can't be confrontational. Because that's not true. It's just a way for you to organize yourself as an individual better and to learn about the person that's been interacting with society for all these years in a better light. So with that being said, hope you all enjoyed today's talk. If you want to reach out to me, my Instagram page is 19yearoldshrinkpodcast. My personal page is WJG23. Looking forward to having our last episode ever with my father coming up soon, episode 100. But again, if you have any questions or comments or anything, please feel free to reach out to me. And I just want to thank again Merrick for providing this unbelievable content so that I can have, and I hope that these listeners and that you guys can be able to take advantage just as I was able to with this content. Thank you so much and have a great rest of your day.